We're going to continue the show today by talking about an issue that we have raised before, and it's an issue that is becoming more and more prominent in local discussion, but also state level and national discussion, and that's the issue of justice surrounding the bail system or the bond system. You get arrested, you go to court, and you get assigned a bail, which if you pay it, then you can go free until your trial. A lot of people cannot afford to pay that bail. They wind up sitting in jail without having been convicted of a crime, and the difference really is entirely dependent on how wealthy you are and how much money you have. It's a serious justice issue, and there are local organizations that are starting to not just raise awareness of the issue, but also to do something about it. Recently, the NAACP's Chapel Hill Carborough chapter joined forces with the Binkley Baptist Church, and they have launched a new initiative called Orange County Bail Bond Justice. It's a new nonprofit that launched earlier this year, officially certified just a little more than a month ago. And we're joined here in the studio by Kimberly Brewer, who is the chair of Orange County Bail Bond Justice, to say a little bit more about the organization and about the issue and what we can do as individuals to help out. Kimberly, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Aaron.
So tell us about the origin, first of all, of this organization. How did it get started?
I think you kicked it off really nicely. A couple of years ago, I know that I started learning about the real justice impacts of the bail system through our Binkley Peace and Justice Action Group. And I was also a member of the NAACP Criminal Justice Committee. And James Williams, who's chair of that committee, also former chief public defender in Orange County, he really schooled us on the issues of bail, not just statewide, but particularly here in our county and our community. We like to think of our community as being very progressive, but we have a system that really perversely penalizes poor people, and particularly people of color, just because they can't afford to pay their bail. Like you said, they haven't been convicted of a crime. And so that was bothering both the people at Binkley and the NAACP. So that's when we decided to launch this, and particularly as a faith community, Binkley thought it was important that, you know, we have different organizations working on bail issues, as you said, but the faith community is a missing voice. And we thought it was important for Binkley to launch this and to join with other faith communities in our county and say, this is a moral issue that needs to be addressed. And that's a very powerful voice.
And if you're listening out there, you want more information, you can get it on the organization's website, which is ocbailbondjustice.org. And we'll mention that website again later on as well. But one of the factoids on the website, and this is significant considering just we're not a very populated county. We got 150,000 people, but it's not super, super populous. And about 1,000 people were in jail before trial just in Orange County just last year, basically solely because they couldn't afford to pay bail. And we've already talked about, oh, you're sitting in jail without having been convicted of a crime, but the ripple effect of that is significant as well, right?
Right. It's hugely impactful. And I want to say that these charges, and again, we want to stress these are people who've been charged but not convicted. Mm. And what we've seen more recently as we've observed cases is these charges range everything from stealing a $2 candy bar to stealing a rotisserie chicken from a grocery store, a trespass, open container violation, drug possession, assault, two more serious felony charges. So it can start with a really minor misdemeanor charge and have a huge lasting impact in your life, both from a criminal justice perspective and in your personal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you're sitting in jail, then you're not working, you're not taking care of family.
Right, you can lose your home, your whole life.
A recent
study showed that in the first 2 to 3 days of someone being detained pre-trial, that's really when the most impacts occur. That's when your whole life can fall apart in terms of losing your job or losing your home, losing custody of your children. And so we're really hoping to try to help folks within that first 2 to 3 days and try to minimize that kind of impact.
Speaking with Kimberly Brewer, again, the chair of Orange County Bail Bond Justice, a new organization here in our community. So that's the issue. What are you hoping to do about it?
Right. So when we launched the project, we really had two key goals in mind. One was to really identify and unjust practices. You know, you hear anecdotal stories, but we wanted to know what exactly is happening and what practices need reform. And so we want to change unjust bail practices in Orange County. That's our first goal. And the second is to provide direct support to people who are being impacted by that system, particularly bail support.
So let's start with the first one, changing unjust bail practices. What do we want to change them to?
We have a court observation program to try mm-hmm. to answer that question. And we've been in court every day since early March, observing how bail is being set. And we're documenting that and putting it in a project database. And we're assessing that data. So we're educating ourselves about that question. And we're going to be educating the community. We're going to be coming up with a preliminary findings report in early December. And I hope you'll invite us back mm-hmm. so that we can share those findings with you, because we'll have what we see as good practices in our court system as well as practices that we think need reform mm-hmm. and then some recommendations.
Because there is
we want the data to speak for itself.
Right. Because there is a purpose for the bail system, right? I mean, it does exist for a reason, and it's to guarantee people will come back to court at their court date. So there are other ways of accomplishing that too, right?
You know, and that's sort of a misconception, actually. Mm-hmm. A number of studies have shown recently that you can significantly reduce the number of people who are detained pre-trial and not have any impact on whether they come back to court or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done through issuing citations instead mm-hmm. of an arrest, or if someone's arrested, issuing something called a written promise to appear, so you don't have to pay some sort of bail or bond. And, you know, even in Mecklenburg County, Charlotte, Mecklenburg County here in North Carolina, they have significantly reduced the number of people that they are detaining pre-trial. And they did a study and found that it had no impact at all on the number of people coming back to court. And that reflects the studies that are shown across the country. So there's sort of a misconception that bail is effective, or the purpose of bail mm-hmm. is effective in sort of making people come back or making sure that they come to court. Mm-hmm. And particularly when you're looking at misdemeanor and low-level felony type charges, then there are other ways to do that.
Yeah. So there's the court observation program trying to get a sense of what best practices should be. There's also a bail fund that you're raising money for, right?
Exactly. And we just launched a fundraising effort for that. It's a revolving community bail fund for people in Orange County who can't afford to pay their low-cost bail. And how it would work, Aaron, is we would accept a referral for someone who needs bail assistance, and that might be from a family member or friend or public defender's office. And then if that person meets our criteria for the bail fund, we would pay the full bail in cash. And that person would be able to go home and wait for their trial and go about their lives like you and I would be able to do, and a lot of people in this community, right? I mean, it's sort of leveling the playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we provide bail assistance, we're also going to provide assistance if it's needed in terms of transportation to court. Mm-hmm. That can be a huge issue. And also texting court date reminders. And the important thing is that once the case is resolved, whether the person is found guilty or innocent, that bail money comes back into our bail fund. So it's like the best kind of recycling there is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our criteria is that the maximum bail that we would post would be $3,000. And that really coincides with misdemeanors and low-level felony-type charges.
Mm-hmm.
And we anticipate that the average bail we'll post will be about $2,000. So we're really hoping to raise enough money by January to be able to begin posting bail.
And yeah. There's a couple different ways if you're listening out there, if you want to contribute to it. You can donate on the website, which is ocbailbondjustice.org, and there's also a GoFundMe page, right?
There's a GoFundMe. If you go to our Facebook and Twitter, you can see our GoFundMe link. We're trying to raise through GoFundMe $25,000 by January, and that goes directly to the fund.
other initiatives that are ongoing right now, other things that you're doing or that people can do?
Well, you know, we have the most wonderful army of volunteers working on this. We have a lot of different faith-based communities have partnered with us. We have seven who've partnered so far and a number of others who are on the verge of approving a partnership. And people within those faith communities, as well as just interested citizens and other sort of informal organizations, have been participating in the court observation program. They get trained and they come and they observe court and document their findings. We have people who are entering data into our database. We have people who are working on the logistics for the bail fund, you know, how it will work. We have people developing educational materials. So, you know, some people are gifted in communications. Some are gifted in entering data. Others are more interested in learning more about the court system. So however you people want to contribute, there's a way for them to contribute. And we would love for anyone to work with us and join forces who's interested in this issue.
So if you're listening out there and you want to donate or volunteer, and I'm looking at a sheet right here that you gave me of just a whole bunch of different things that you're doing that people can volunteer. Again, the website is ocbailbondjustice.org, and you can go there now and check out more information. And the bail fund is kind of a stopgap, right? Because ultimately the goal is changing practices, which means changes to policy at the local level, on the state level, changes to practices in the courtrooms, judges making different decisions, DAs making different recommendations. So how much buy-in do we have yet from local policymakers, from the DA's office, from local judges?
That's a really good question. I can say that from what we've heard, that just our presence in the courtroom every day since March has generated some good conversations among the different decision makers. And so there's some ongoing conversations about reforms that can be made or might be made. And I wanted to highlight a December 14th forum that's coming up, sponsored by the NAACP. It's called Orange County Criminal Justice Reform. Where do we go from here? We'll be at the library, 1 to 4:30. And so we'll be talking about bail, court fines and fees, a whole host of issues. But I think that there is an awareness and a concern on the part of the different decision makers, whether they be the judges or the DA. And at this point, what we're trying to do, Aaron, is collect the data, not really engage with folks and say, here's what we want you to do, until we have a fuller understanding of what the data says and what we think that implies in terms of needed reform. But once we have that, then we hope to really begin engaging folks who can make those decisions.
And you mentioned that December 14th event, and I'm looking this up because I know that in early December, James Williams and Jim Woodall, the DA, are going to be on this show to talk about that event. So we're already people together with stakeholders to make this happen. So that's really cool.
And what's important about this is that, you know, usually the same people show up to these events. Mm-hmm. And we want it to be a really broad community event, because they're going to be hearing about very live criminal justice issues in our community and what other communities are doing to try to solve those issues and that are making a difference. And so I think showing an interest, that people coming to that and showing an interest, is going to be very important.
I got to wrap up. We're speaking with Kimberly Brewer. Other things that people need to know, final thoughts?
Just that everybody is welcome in this effort, that if you believe, as the people who are partnered with us believe, that witnessing is important, that seeking justice is important, and having compassion for the poor is important, then we would love for you to join our effort.
Mm. And I think one of the kind of the blocks that people might have about an initiative like this is, well, it's a safety issue, right? We might want to make sure that people who are accused of crimes aren't going out into society. But this is a decision where the judge has already made the decision that, yes, we can release you back out into society. This isn't a case where, for public safety reasons, we've got to keep you in prison. It's just, if you have the money, you can go. And there are people who do and people who don't.
Actually, the way where we're going to intervene is a really good question. Mm-hmm. We're going to intervene if the magistrate and the judge have both said that this person is going to be detained. Mm-hmm. Then that's when we would intervene. If they meet our criteria and we think that mm-hmm. it's safe for them to be released, then that's when we would post the bail.
Yep.
And we will be working with family members. We'll be working with the Public Defender's Office, Orange County Pretrial Release Services Program. And so we've gone through a very thoughtful process of setting up criteria to try to balance the need for safety and having a fairer system, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do.
Yep. Again, ocbailbondjustice.org is the website. Go there and find out more. The link to the GoFundMe page is available via Facebook or Twitter. You can get the links there. And we'll have more to say on this as we get later on into the rest of the year, because that event is coming up on December 14th, and we'll be talking about that in the days leading up to that. Kimberly Brewer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.